Kevin Woodley from NHL.com and In Goal Magazine. Woodley, how are you, my man?
I'm good. Hey, as a goaltender, we don't want too many kids playing lacrosse. It creates incredible hands among forwards. You talk to guys like Tavares and Nash and, you know, about what they credit some of their, you know, that kind of high-end hand skill. And they all talk about their growing up playing lacrosse. So as a goaltender, that worries me if you get more kids playing lacrosse out there.
You know, Kevin, I have seen players who, you know, Brendan Shanahan talk about it, like spinning off plays and just your hand-eye. Oh, it's huge. Young kids, instead of playing hockey year-round when you're 7 or 8, you should be picking up a lacrosse stick because, yeah, it's a huge benefit, and you can, you can use things in both sports to help out. So, yeah, no, definitely. Hey, anything for more goals in hockey, I'm all for it. If every kid has to play lacrosse to get more goals, let's do it. That would be fantastic. Let's talk fewer goals. Lauren Brossoit. Now, hey, young goalie, and he's had some tough games. The Los Angeles game, you know, excluding the goaltender interference, which clearly should have been goalie interference. I don't know how the hell, even after watching review, they don't call that. But you know, the one play where when they took the puck, and I know that him and Sekera, there was miscommunication, but then he kind of leans forward and gets himself laying on the ice. Kevin, what did you see there? What's kind of going on in a goalie's mind in that situation?
I got to be honest with you, Jason. I hadn't had a chance. I'm not recalling the exact play you're talking about. I had a chance to go through kind of 4 or 5 of his games leading up to that, pretty much his entire season leading up to that game, but not in particular that goal. What I have seen from him, and this is something that as a young goaltender, there are adjustments you make. Because we talked earlier about how good a lot of the strengths that I saw in his game, especially down low and in tight, and the way he tracked and the way he moved and the way he gained rotation through all those different processes and kind of kept himself big and square. What you're seeing as teams pick up books, and that was kind of the project I was working on, getting a scouting report on him, there are tendencies there that clearly they are targeting and trying to exploit. And, you know, again, not thinking of the Sekera play, but more the stuff off the rush right now. He is not an aggressive goaltender. And that's a good thing. Like, you don't want – we've talked about guys who charge way out and then have to flow back into their net off the rush and how, you know, it really does leave them more reliant on rhythm and timing, all things that, you know, can be disrupted even just by not playing that much. And clearly that's going to be a role for him over the next couple of years. He doesn't have a lot of that. That said, he's going to have to start to take more ice off the rush. I mean – he plays at a three-quarters depth on the end zone, so he's rarely kind of out even to the edge of his crease. But off the rush, he is starting at the edge of his crease at the that's as far as he comes out. And teams are shooting high, looking to exploit that. He can probably cover his net, and you have to beat him with a perfect shot if he's at the edge of his crease. But if he's not going to activate his hands from there and be a little more sort of active with them, then, you know, yeah, okay, they're good shots that are beating him off the rush, but from some of the distance that he's been beat off, those are ones where you either got to take more ice so there is nothing there, or you've got to kind of, again, be a little more active with those hands and take those away. And I've seen a lot of those beat him, and those are things that other teams are going to start to pick on and pick up on as well. Around the net, you know, really solid way he goes into his post with reverse VH, but he goes in with the skate on the post. And so to get that seal, it creates a long gap between kind of that lead leg and his body. And so to get that seal, he's got to push in really tight to the post. And if you're pushing really tight to the post, that makes you a little more delayed getting back the other way. That's another tendency that I think teams are starting to try and exploit. And the other one is, you know, off the rush when it gets down kind of near the dots, a tendency to kind of be outside of his post. And again, another delay on lateral plays there. So just a couple little things, little adjustments, easy adjustments to make. But I think the biggest one for him moving forward is, you know, if you're going to give up goals from the top of the circles off the rush on clean looks, as much as you would prefer to not have your team give up the, you know, the kind of time and space that opponents are being afforded to pick those spots, I don't think you can afford to get beat cleanly as often as he has over the past couple of weeks from those locations. And those are adjustments he's going to have to take care of.
Now, Kevin, how much of those adjustments come from just the fact that it's NHL shooters? And, like, I don't know, are goalies good enough now that when you go from the AHL to the NHL, you know, you should be used to this? Or is there an adjustment period of the velocity, the quickness in the release, and how significantly different it is from those shooters? I'm not making an excuse. I'm just asking the question. You've worked with those guys. Is there that much of a difference? Is that a learning curve that he needed to see? Or is it more of a technical thing that he just has to focus on?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. There's always adjustments as you move up, and there's certainly one, and I wish I could remember which of the ones I'd kind of earmarked who the shooter was, where the release in stride clearly caught him off guard. Now, you could see the way he went down to the ice. There was a hitch there that, you know, it just caught him not ready for it. And there's going to be an element to that. I think the biggest difference, you know, when you move up to this level is, I don't want to say everyone can put it off the barn down, you know, off the rush if they have that kind of time and that kind of space to kind of pick a spot. But almost everyone can. And I don't believe that's the case in the American League, as good as it is. You know, it's a little more of a scramble league. And in the NHL where it's controlled, when guys have time to control and pick a spot, most of them can. So, you know, again, just something that maybe you even get away with at the American Hockey League level that you're not going to get away with here. And yeah, part of it's probably just read and trusting your hands and trusting those instincts. But if it continues and if this is a trend that keeps moving forward, there's an adjustment element that he's going to have to make as well. And again, it's either the hands get more active on those high shots, or you just take a little more ice in certain situations. And you know, maybe even if it's just heels out atop the goal line instead of toes at the edge of, sorry, not the goal line, the edge of the crease, heels at the top of it, as opposed to having his toes inside it or even straddling it. It's so close, and they are great shots. You watch as they go over his shoulder. There's not much room there, but NHL shooters don't need much room. And so the adjustment for him may be just as simple as an extra foot and a half of ice off the rush, and that room may disappear entirely.
Kevin Woodley. Excuse me, from In Goal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Kevin, lots of talk, and you broke this a while ago about Rolly Melanson maybe not coming back as the goalie coach in Vancouver. When you change goalie coaches, you know, I'm assuming, you know, it's kind of similar to a head coach, at least from a goaltender's perspective, because a new goalie coach can come in and have a different philosophy than the previous one, and maybe it doesn't jive with your goalie. So if teams were hiring the next goalie coach, is it better to have a goalie coach who has his own philosophy or one whose style fits with the goalies you currently have?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I think that in today's day and age, you need to be able to work with different goaltenders. And there may be an element to that in the Canucks' decision. And again, not finalized. They're going to sit down and talk at the end of the season. But a word around the league is pretty strong that Rolly Melanson isn't back. And you know, that may be part of it. He, as much as his track record of success is so good, I mean, with Schneider and Lack and now Markstrom, he's very rigid in terms of what he, I mean, we talk about toes inside the crease. He believes there's always got to be blue ice in front of your toes. And now he's given a little bit on that with Ryan Miller. He gave a little bit on that with Roberto Luongo. There was some back and forth there, and I give him credit for that, not sticking so strictly within a system and being willing to bend to the goaltender's preferences and style. But for the most part, that's what he's preached. I think that, you know, in this day and age, and we saw it in Carolina with Eddie Lack and David Marcoux not being able to get on the same page, you have to be able to adjust. You know, in Lack's case, if you've got a 6'5" goaltender whose biggest strength is his hands and biggest weakness is his skating, asking him to play outside the crease and retreat and flow is a mistake. And there's a situation where that's the style the goalie coach preferred. It didn't fit the goaltender. So I think goalie coaches today need to be able to work with more than one style. They need to be able to accentuate the positives that each goaltender has, and kind of, you know, it doesn't mean you ignore the negatives. You work on them, but it can't be, there's no one way to stop a puck, and there is no one way that works for every goaltender. And I think goaltending coaches now need to be flexible. But at the same time, you know, if there are clearly elements you believe are costing a guy goals, you need to be able to kind of show him that with video and get him on board to changes that need to be made. Being flexible doesn't mean you just say, hey, play however you want to play. Because sometimes the changes, you know, again, Markstrom, they were evident. Everyone could see what needed to change there. And Jacob, maybe not so much at the beginning, but you've seen the success he's had now that he's made those changes. So it's a tough one. You can't be soft on guys. You need to, if you have certain beliefs, you have to stick with them. But there's also got to be some flexibility. Otherwise, you're going to run into situations where a goaltender that the organization brings in or wants to develop, if they don't fit your style, what do you do? Do you just punt them or you just not work with them? I don't think that works in today's day and age. There needs to be more flexibility there.
Kevin Woodley joined us. Kevin, what do you make of Corey Schneider? Little conditioning stint, Carey Price working really hard to get back, and everybody's saying, well, who cares? Why should they come back? What do you feel is the importance of these two guys, and maybe even in the summertime, to try to play? Because if you're Carey Price and if you're the Montreal Canadiens, if he doesn't play a game in the regular season, would you want his first game back to be at the World Cup of Hockey?
Yeah, I don't know that I would, and I don't know that that's fair. There's just a timeline. I mean, we're talking about knee injuries in both cases. And the reality of MCL is it probably takes as long as Carey has taken to get back to 100%. Now, obviously, Schneider hasn't been out nearly that long, but Schneider's in the window. I compare this to Ryan Miller last year. He came back and was ready to go right before the playoffs, and he ended up, after lack falter, getting into the playoffs. For him, that was in that six-week window that we hear about with MCL. Good enough to come back and comfortable enough to play on it. But nowhere near 100%. He didn't feel 100% and have complete trust in that knee for 5 months after the injury, middle of summer before he truly felt he was back. And I heard the same thing about Carey the first time he hurt his knee, that he didn't really feel good back on the ice until August. So I think for both of these guys, they're trying to, in Carey's case, he wants to, they've been so cautious, and he wants to make sure he gets on the ice in a game situation. The dynamic nature of a game situation where he just has to trust it and go so that he can go into the summer with 100% confidence. Obviously, Schneider's probably not going to be to that stage, but much like Miller, he wants to feel like, okay, I can't make it any worse, and now I'll hit my off season, take the time off I need to make sure it gets 100%. But it's just that peace of mind that, hey, I can play the game like this, and now I'm going to take another step in the off season. So, different timelines for both, but I think for both important to get back on the ice, and we see controlled saves as you go through those steps. You controlled movements, then controlled saves, and Price today taking breakaways, to me, says he's really close because there's no control there. It's completely open the car doors and go. The guy coming in could do anything, and you have to trust your body to be able to follow it, track it, and react to it without any fear over the body kind of failing. And you go through those progressions. The last one is obviously a game, and it just helps the mindset heading into the summer to know that you're going to be okay in that situation.
Kevin Woodley joins us. Kevin, one final one for you as we move into the end of the season. When you start to evaluate the guys, and going into the summertime and everything like that, or even down the stretch, like you look at the Chicago Blackhawks, they've had to rely on their goaltenders more this year than they have before, which is understandable. Their team just isn't as deep as it was before. Is Corey Crawford, is he better when they rely on him more, as strange as that sounds? Does that play into his style more? And, how desperate are they going to need him come playoff time in your books?
Well, it's been good for them that Darling's kind of found a little bit of a rhythm himself here the last couple of games. And I think the fact he had to be so good to beat Calgary, I mean, everybody looks at the score 4-1, but there's two empty netters in there and 31 saves from Scott Darling. Even Vancouver the other night, they beat him with a goal in the final couple of minutes. And Darling wasn't overly busy. I think he finished with 21 saves last night, or 23 saves. But there are three or four five-alarm, glorious point-blank, cross-ice, backdoor-type chances that he turned down. And to me, kind of an indication of the types of saves they've been asking their goaltenders to make more of this year. It probably helps them confidence-wise. I mean, Darling won them a playoff series last year, and he looks like he's getting back into that form right now, so that helps. But ultimately, they have leaned so much more on Crawford this year than in years past. It's why I had him atop the Vezina list before this last injury, and it's probably why more than ever, and ironically for a guy who kind of gets dismissed as just being a part of the team's play in years past and just being along for the ride, I don't see a deep playoff run for them without him. Their defense, as you said, is not as deep as it has been. They do give up more, and they're going to need, whether it's Darling, I think it's going to need to be Crawford as well. They're going to need one or both, even like they did last year, playing really well in the playoffs for them to have a chance. As much as that sounds silly to say, because they're always, you know, considered the Stanley Cup favorites or one of them, I think they really need their goaltender. And in Crawford's case, I worry about him coming back and not being 100%. No definitive word on what the injury is, but talk it may be, a TBI, traumatic brain injury, mild concussion, whatever you want to call it. And if that's the case, those are the kind of things that goaltenders take a lot of time to recover from. Tough to play this position if you're not able to really track the puck at 100%. And so, now maybe you do even need Darling early like last year and Crawford coming on. But at the end of the day, when I watch the Blackhawks play, they are no longer a team that wins despite its goaltending. They are a team that needs its goaltending to win.
Kevin, always great to catch up with you, man. I will talk to you next Monday. Have a great week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jason. You too.